Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hello and welcome to Florida Basketball Hour. I am Neil Blackman, Saturday Down South. Wanted to do the annual State of the Program address here, which is a pod that gets a lot of positive feedback usually. So thought I would do another one. I think this is the third one we've done. And it's cool because, you know, obviously it's been a good 3 years, so maybe that's why it's been well received. But you kind of talk about some of the stuff that's happening, talk about accomplishments, and then, you know, we look to the future and we say, hey, what's needed to sustain the level of success that Florida basketball is having right now, which is not unprecedented. You guys listen to the show, you know that Fawcett and I have talked about how Florida, to a lesser extent than UConn, but similarly to UConn, is kind of they're a program that exudes excellence without having necessarily gotten the blue blood label. I think people now kind of consider UConn a blue blood after six national titles, but it took a while to get there. And there was always a lot of resistance to that label, whatever those labels mean. I don't know if Florida is necessarily a blue blood. I don't know if you can really be a quote unquote football school and be a blue blood, right? There isn't one that, Indiana is not a blue blood in my mind in basketball. They're now the football national champions. So I think you can win a national title in either sport and still be a school of the other, you know, label. Obviously Michigan just won the national title. Nobody's going to say Michigan's a basketball school. They're more in that Florida bucket, and that's fine. You know, the reality on Florida, the numbers don't lie in terms of program success. For the last three decades, Florida's been the best program in the SEC, at least from a winning standpoint. They have the most national titles. They're actually tied with Kentucky in national titles over the last three decades. But this century, Florida leads 3-1. Florida has the most Final Four appearances in the SEC this century. Florida is top 10 nationally in wins this century, second in the SEC behind Kentucky. Florida is first in NCAA tournament win percentage. They are two NCAA tournament wins behind, total wins behind Kentucky this century. So they're second in the SEC in NCAA tournament wins. Obviously, Kentucky's had far more draft picks than Florida, but Florida had three last year and could have won this year, depending on the decision of Thomas Houck. We will discuss the Thomas Houck stuff on patreon.com/FloridaBBHour. Still the best way to support the podcast, subscribe to patreon.com/FloridaBBHour. If you get the Game Day Gator subscription, you won't get as much of the portal stuff, but you'll get everything during the regular season that you would need: game previews, special Patreon listener question podcast. The other two levels are more comprehensive. The six-man club gets you everything. The Rowdy Reptile tier is going to get you all the insider Patreon, the insider info that we get, and it's going to get you most of the film studies, not all the film studies. Either way, three different tiers you could join. Best way to support the pod is patreon.com/FloridaBBHour. Okay, so we know that the winning results for Florida say that this is the most successful program in the SEC this century. That's a fact. For a while, there was a lag between administrative investment in that and just success. So what does that say? That says that, you know, and it's not to say that Florida didn't invest or commit to basketball. It's just that Florida had an administrative commitment that obviously didn't reflect Kentucky or Arkansas, but also didn't reflect some other schools that Florida was still outperforming on the court because of good coaching, right? And that would include Mike White's coaching, which, you know, again, I think the best thing that can be said about Michael White is that there wasn't ever a precipitous drop off. There was never a disastrous season. There was never a scenario where, has happened to Florida football, you looked at the program and asked, is it great still? There were, you know, now certainly 5-6 years ago, the Athletic ranked the best programs in America, and Florida didn't receive a single vote in the top 10. And now that would seem silly and preposterous. And I think there's reasons for that beyond the fact that I think Michael White is clearly, you know, limited as a head coach while still being very good. He's never had a losing season. But Mike White is not a great coach. Todd Golden is a great coach. Billy Donovan is a great coach. So a great coach lifts the ceiling of this place. But now you have administrative commitment. And administrative commitment means that, you know, you have to have your NIL in order. Then you have to make a contribution from the revenue share that's meaningful, right? And what does a meaningful revenue share contribution to Florida basketball look like when obviously football makes the most money? It's going to get the most of the revenue share, okay? But the bigger question is, what does Florida basketball deserve from the revenue share, okay? And I, you know, I have been told it's sourced, and you know, I have multiple sources tell me that Florida's commitment on the revenue share is very good. That, you know, it's not what Kentucky's putting in, it's not what Arkansas's putting in, but for a program that it's more in that Michigan State zone, which I will tell you is good. Like, if you're in a Power 4 league, because there's a Power 5 in basketball, but a Power 4 in football, and what the Big East is able to do from a revenue share standpoint is different, because those leagues, you know, I can't, is there somebody in the Big East? You can drop a comment if you know. Off the top of my head, UConn has a football program. They're an alien in the sense that they give more of their revenue share to their basketball program. The rest of the Big East, like, is there a preeminent football program in that league, or even a school that has a powerful football program? I don't think so. So, like Seton Hall, Providence, they aren't Marquette. They're not rolling out Butler. They're not rolling out football teams that need revenue share money. So their situation is different than the Power Four. But like, Tom Izzo's getting a portion of the revenue share that's reasonable given like their success and longstanding status. I'm sure Michigan is going to up what they intended to give revenue share wise to basketball now that Dusty May has won a national title. Florida's committed there. Okay. So that I think is good to know. And then Florida has good NIL, right? They don't have 22 mil to spend on a roster, you know, and I don't think without revenue share money, they don't have the 14 and a half or whatever it was that Arkansas spent last year. I think it was 14 and a half, 15. But Florida is firmly third in those areas, revenue share commitment NIL. Okay. At worst fourth, depending on maybe some big donor writes a different type of check. You know, LSU is a great example of like what it looks like when that doesn't match up. Because LSU had about an $8 million roster this year, which was on the lower end of the NIL stage in the SEC. And they have upped that commitment to about 11 million for Will Wade. Matt Norlander reported 11 million at CBS. So 11 million is what he had at NC State. And then you assume there's a revenue share commitment on top of that, which makes that roster. He has a chance to have a slightly more expensive roster at LSU. He's going to need it because he's moving to a better league. Right. But that's the point, is that there's not, you know, Florida's in a position in basketball where they're spending on the sport at higher levels than other SEC schools. For the most part, there are some areas I want to talk about where that's not entirely consistent, and it needs to get consistent for Florida to sustain what it has built in basketball. And it should, because I get back, this is an important point. Like, the reason we talk about all the winning is because Florida is an elite basketball program. It should intend and be administratively committed to staying that way. When you win for three decades like Florida has, it would suck to let that fall off. It would also be foolish to let that fall off, because basketball increasingly generates more and more revenue. It increasingly impacts who applies to schools. I mean, the number of, again, like, I have, because my wife teaches at the university, You know, we have friends in various aspects of university life. Applications went up at Florida dramatically, and not just because of these public Ivy labels. They went up because Florida made a deep run in the NCAA tournament. And so, like, visits to the website increased. There is a direct correlation between winning and the health of the school. And sometimes correlation is actually causation, right? So, you know, Florida should, respectfully to Mississippi, to Auburn, who's been very good lately, respectfully to Miss State, to Texas A&M, to Texas, going to a Florida basketball game is more special. There's more echoes in the rafters. There's more glory in the rafters. There's more of a sustained history of success in a post-integration era at Florida, and it should feel special, and the sport should be treated that way. Now, is it ever going to replace football in, like, hearts and minds in Gainesville? Of course not. And, you know, I think Florida has made really unprecedented commitments since the beginning of the Napier era to getting back to being elite at football, and should make those commitments, right? And hopefully John Summerall is actually the answer to that level of commitment. But the reality is basketball's had this immense sustained run of success, contrary to the ridiculous assertions that it's two flash-in-the-pan recruiting classes. You know, Florida basketball's been really dang good for 30 years. They've gone to Final Fours under three different staffs, Elite Eights under four different staffs. It ain't about one recruiting class, guys. And, you know, anybody that suggests the contrary, it's probably a Kentucky fan or somebody with sour grapes. Florida should treat basketball like it is a national power, because it is. So what does that look like now? And it's interesting. Like, I planned on this State of the Program pod being basically today anyway, because it's time to do it. And I figured, you know, the day the portal closes is as good a day as any. There will probably be portal news today for Florida. If you're listening to this live, you'll hear that. If you're listening to it on the podcast later, you'll hear some variant of that after the fact, and that's fine too. The point is, we could have Thomas Houck news. We could have international big man news. Should CJ Ingram answer that people have been waiting for is coming. All of that by midnight tonight. I don't know if Houck is necessarily breaks tonight, but you'll get a pretty good idea of it if it doesn't. And I'll talk about the Houck situation at the Patreon. I've also already talked about it at the Discord. So if you're a subscriber to the Patreon, you know, my views on Thomas Houck. Okay, Florida. Todd Golden, extension was in the works a month ago. Florida was working on it. Pretty good progress was made around the time that there was North Carolina smoke. There was Kansas smoke in March, as you'll recall, too, while Bill Self kind of evaluated whether he wanted to come back for another year. And, you know, Scott Strickland made those comments that we're going to keep Todd Golden. I have not talked to Scott. If I did, I'm sure he would tell me, hey, look, like, our plan is to keep Todd Golden. Now, there was a structure to his buyout where to take another college job was going to cost millions and millions of dollars to that program, which I can tell you from my North Carolina sourcing was pretty prohibitive in their favor. They weren't going to pay $16 million to get Todd Golden on campus, and I don't think they were particularly interested in waiting till April 16th, 5 days before the portal shut down, to pay the $11 million buyout, as if that's better. The NBA buyout just went from 3 to 2 last week, so it's $2 million for the NBA. I always felt like the NBA is the most likely pathway for Golden to exit Florida. Should he exit, his family's very happy here. They're building an absolute wagon of a program. They have back-to-back one seeds, which is unprecedented for Florida basketball. The Donovan era didn't even pull that off. They're the reigning SEC champions a year after being the national champions. And Todd Golden and his general manager and assistant coach, Jonathan Sapphire, sort of a co-GM. I shouldn't just call him the general manager. Those guys are probably the best roster builders, certainly one of the best roster building duos in the sport. So, like, there's a lot of reasons to not leave and have to build something from the ground up. The Golden State Warrior rumors are interesting, not just because Golden, like, is more likely to leave for the NBA than he would ever leave for another college job, but rather also just because of, like, the roster situation out there. I mean, the Warriors, everybody knows, like, they're old. Draymond's old. Steph is getting old. That is going to be a complete rebuild. And, like, I know now, if you're the LaCobb family and you like Todd and you know him and his family from the time at the University of San Francisco, and you know that Todd Golden is 40 and he's interested in the NBA, and, you know, you already have a relationship, that makes some sense. It also is a story that, you know, does create leverage for Todd as they finalize the contract extension negotiations. But I, you know, I do think Florida should have gotten that done already. I made the same point last year. I thought Florida was, you know, slower than you'd want to be after a national title, but they did get it done the first week of May. We're still a couple weeks away from that, but I think Florida will make faster progress this year, and they should make Todd Golden one of the top two or three paid coaches in college basketball. Right now, Bill Self is the highest paid coach. John Calipari at Arkansas is second. Danny Hurley is third. Todd Golden is fourth in annual salary. I think a bump for Golden to get him right where Danny is would put him at third. If you put him over Danny, you could pay him what Calipari makes, just because right now Todd Golden is the best coach in the SEC, so why should he not make what John Calipari makes? And that's fine. There will be sacrifice on the end of the fans. Like, fans are going to have to pay more for tickets. This is part and parcel of not only the era that we live in, but also, like, the NIL era, you know, with the contribution levels, suggested NIL donations with tickets. You got to pay to have elite coaches. And when you have championship coaches on campus, you try to keep them. Scott Strickland's been actually really good at that. He has kept, you know, championship coaches in Gainesville, whether it's Kevin O'Sullivan or Mouse Holloway or any other number of people. That's something that they've done, but this extension needs to get done. And then that kind of leads to step two. And this is why this part's important. And Nature Boy's comment is, college basketball NIL more or less sustainable than football? College basketball NIL is more sustainable in the sense that, like, if you have a core group of donors who can continue to give money, you don't need as much money for an elite roster. But that, you know, again, like, all it takes is one of those big time donors to stop giving, and it's, you know, then what happens? Now Florida has a good group of committed people that continue to pour money into the NIL coffer in basketball, and they like that. And I don't, none of those people are particularly ancient in years. And I don't think that money stops. But you know, you programs are going to have to get diverse in the way that they approach, you know, long-term kind of NIL investment, whether it's getting into equity or venture capital or however you're going to raise your money. You've got to raise the money, you know, and, you know, yeah, I mean, I do think the Golden State stuff is less of an issue because of what is coming back to Florida too. Now, I would say, like, when this generational class, Condon, we got the Chinyelu news yesterday. I would expect him back the way that Clinton came back, the way that Condon came back. So, like, when this generational group of players, and they are generational, even if, like, Florida's success is sustained over a long period of time, a back-to-back one-seed class is a generational class, right? When they leave, you know, maybe is that an exit ramp for Todd if he's ready for the NBA at 41? Yeah, sure. On the flip side, like, Todd is Again, he's 40, and you know, obviously the Title IX stuff came out, and the actual independent investigator that was hired to investigate and do their job, not affiliated with the University of Florida, found the allegations against Todd completely meritless. People are going to say what they say all the time, but completely meritless is a pretty strong exoneration. And, you know, the reality on Golden is that he's good for college basketball. He's emotional. His players love him. He's a passionate guy. His players love playing for him. He's innovative. His staff is innovative. It's a situation where, I don't know if Billy Donovan, because Urban Meyer, or was here because Steve Spurrier here, ever became kind of the face of the University of Florida athletic program. I think Todd has certainly the opportunity to be like 1A or 1B the way that Billy was. College basketball would hate to lose Todd Golden because he cares about kids. He's passionate about his players, and he builds relationships. He's a relationship builder. And in addition to all the innovation and stuff that he's brought to the SEC, and kind of helped the SEC, instead of just having a ton of really good teams, it had a national championship team in the best season that the conference has ever had. So like all of these are reasons that, like, you know, and Todd has immense job security here at Florida, that obviously you just never have in the NBA unless you run a dynasty like Steve Kerr did, and he'd be the guy following the guy, which is almost always bad, and he'd be the guy following the guy with an aging roster that is in desperate need of a rebuild. Like, I'm not sure that just reuniting with Will Richard, who was a spot reserve late in the stretch, is enough for that. Even with a good relationship with Joe LaCop, Todd has plenty of good relationships here. The point is Florida needs to finalize the extension. The other thing Florida needs to do is, and they just did it last year. So again, like, staff salary pool can be tricky because, resources aren't infinite, but Florida went from like 12th to the top five. They should be top three. Like, they should be where Kentucky and Arkansas are on staff pool. If you wanted to go back and forth on it, the reality is, like, you have to evaluate who your replacement staff would be, right? So if you're not going to pay a certain staff member, who are you replacing them with, and will they be as good? That's tough with Florida because they have the best staff in the league. And I say that with great due respect for what Alabama does with less NIL than Florida, less administrative commitment than Florida. Nate's interesting because he recruits high school real hard, and then he promises playing time and opportunity, even though he pays them less, and then a lot of times they leave, right? But losing a guy like Aiden Sherrill gives you an idea of where Alabama is. Florida is not in that spot. Like, they can retain their entire front court potentially if Howe comes back, and that's fine, right? Florida went all in on retention, which is a really smart roster build strategy. They're going to add an international guy. We'll get to him on the Patreon too, but I think Arturis Buttigieg will be in the fold pretty soon. Even accounting for that. So what do you do when you have a roster builder of the quality of Jonathan Sapphire? You say, I'm going to pay him because I can't replace him with somebody that's as good. So I might as well just pay him the money. Carlin Hartman, one of the best developmental coaches in America, maybe the top assistant coach in the SEC, one of the top assistant coaches in America, should be paid like it. Dave Klatsky just helped a top Florida have a top 10 defense, top five for a good period of the season. Florida was better defensively than they were in the national title year. And that's amazing because Dave had big shoes to fill, like John Andrzejak as the defensive coordinator departs, and Florida actually improved defensively. Dave also is an innovative guy who I think should have more of a hand in what Florida does offensively. If you look at some of the stuff that Dave ran at NYU when they were competing for national titles in Division III, like Dave understands offensive basketball. You know, so the question becomes, who can you replace him with, right? And, you know, if you're not going to make, you know, a staff salary pool increase to accommodate Dave Klatsky in a good first year where Florida got a one seed, won the SEC championship, then who are you replacing him with that's as good? Again, tough to do, right? And then same with Torian Green, great developmental coach. And then Corey McCray has been here since day one at Florida, helping Florida recruit the high school players they do recruit. Kevin Olson, you've got to pay the staff. So Florida should be top three in staff salary pool. And I understand all these things have costs. You got to pass it on to fans. Florida fans will pay it. And I believe that they will because I saw the way Florida traveled this year. Not just the overwhelming home game support they had and the loss to Iowa and the win over Prairie View and Tampa, but I saw Florida. I heard the crowd pops at Memorial Gym. I heard the crowd pops on TV in that case. But, you know, I saw Florida bring thousands of people to where UConn fans were like, man, like, we have you outnumbered, but we're used to that in the Garden. Y'all showed up at Duke. So many fans traveled to see that. The quote-unquote neutral site game at Jacksonville where Florida fans were filling the rafters. I mean, the Gator fans will travel to watch good basketball. It's become a cultural component of what this university is, and it will continue to be so. So pay the staff like that because it's expensive to maintain this kind of level of excellence, right? And that's where kind of the state of the program is. Now, the good news is Florida's had an administration that's responded to all that, but they should respond to that because Florida basketball is special. So where's the state of the program? I think the state of the program is strong, and it's going to remain strong as long as Todd Golden is in Gainesville. I don't need to get into the scenario of if he left right now. I don't think that that's a productive exercise. But I do think staff retention and staff continuity overwhelmingly has proven to be just a really immense part of college basketball success. The best programs keep their staffs together and compensate their staffs well. Kansas's extended run of excellence is major proof in the pudding where they've had guys like Jock Vaughn who've sat on their bench. They've had guys like Norm Roberts who have turned down jobs to stay on their bench. And that's just one example of a place where if you could keep your staff together, you have a better chance to compete and win. This is what Florida needs to do. And look, you know, Todd has gotten his staff hires right. As this comment said, it's quite the staff for sure. Before we knew who Jonathan Safar was, Todd said he is coming with him, and he really hasn't had a bad staff hire at all. He has not. And I think that will continue as long as Golden is in Gainesville. So state of the program objective should be keep Tommy Houck, finish the extension with Golden, get the staff salary pool from the top five to the top three. These are kind of the things that Florida should do. And I think the wins are going to keep coming. The wins are going to keep coming as long as this group is here. Now, if they're here after next year, which, you know, obviously we all hope they will be. If you're a Florida fan, you're like, please, like, let's see what happens. I'd love to see Todd rebuild it. Billy Donovan said it was one of the most rewarding things that he ever did in coaching, was kind of rebuilding everything after 07. It was hard, but man, it was worth it. And then Florida went to four straight Elite Eights after that, right? So it'll be challenging, but Todd has some pieces. We'll see if C.J. Ingram could be one of them. There's some pieces behind this generational group. Should have Boogie Flan back for his senior year unless he goes bonkers this season. All of these things are, you know, down the line 27-28 concerns. But the 26-27 state of the program is strong. It's a one seed. It's the reigning SEC champion. And it should get an extension done with its head coach pretty soon and keep him in Gainesville for the foreseeable future. All right. Go Gators. Keep attending closeouts.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.